You may be seated. Jackson, thank you for leading us in worship of the Lord this morning. Holiday weekend is in full swing, and so there's a few extra seats out there, but we're just delighted that you are here this morning to worship with us. This morning, we're going to be looking at our Bibles in our time of communion, and so there's going to be some men that are coming down the aisles. If you do not have a Bible with you this morning, put your hand up, and they will make sure that you have one so you can follow along with us for our service this morning. And perhaps this morning, you're thinking, hey, I'm here because I need to get right with the Lord. I need to clean myself up. I've been doing a lot of things I'm not proud of, and I think I need to do better. The right step would be just going to church. And I want to tell you this morning, as we look at the book of Galatians, and we'll be in verse 19 of chapter 3, but that's not what the Apostle Paul said to the churches in Galatia that informs how we should think about even coming to church. Galatians 3:10, Matthew Matt references this in his equipping hour this morning, says, "Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them. Now that no one is justified by law before God is evident." In other words, you can never prove yourselves to be worthy enough, good enough in the eyes of God by what you do. Rather, unless you are perfectly obedient to every command of God, you're under a curse. And so, as we, with our Bibles, not just New Testaments, with Old Testaments as well, that contains the law and commandments given to Moses, Paul's readers might be thinking, if I can't be made right and justified by keeping these laws, then what is it for? Why was the law even given? And so we find ourselves in verse 19 of chapter 3, Galatians 3. Why the law then? It was added because of trespasses. It's an interesting phrase. The law was added because of trespasses. It literally means for the sake of or for the benefit of trespasses. And so, okay, how do trespasses benefit? What's done for the sake of trespasses? Well, Paul says something similar in Romans 5:20, and I think has the same idea. In Romans 5:20, he says, "The law came in so that transgressions would increase." In other words, all of us who were sinners by nature, sinners by choice, we just instinctually do what serves us best. When God gave his commandments in the law, now there are specific commands. Do this. This is right. This is good. And now our sinful hearts, the Israelites' sinful hearts, now had new specific ways for their sin that already was resident inside of them to manifest itself in sinning in new specific ways. So in other words, the law came in for the sake of transgressions, for transgressions to increase, for sinners to see themselves rightly as those who are by nature transgressors of God. And so we look at verse 21. We read, "Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law." This law wasn't intended to give life by keeping its commands, nor do we get life and receive life, prove ourselves to be righteous by opening even the words of our New Testament. So if I just obey and do enough good, I can be right before the Lord. Know that God's commands, whether Old Testament commands and New Testament commands, reveal the sin already present within us, and they reveal the myriad of ways in which we transgress against God. And so why was the Old Testament law given? We read in verse 22, "But the Scripture has shut up everyone under sin." It's enclosed. It's trapped us in. We are as we read in verse 10 and 11, we're under the curse because we can't do what God's perfect law would expect of us. So what is our hope? What is our rescue? We read it in the end of verse 22. The scripture has shut up everyone under sin in the process of demonstrating our sinfulness and transgressing him. At every opportunity, it's shown our inability to please God, our unwillingness to please God. And then what does it do? Shutting us under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. By faith in Jesus Christ, trust in Jesus Christ. We don't trust ourselves and our ability, but we trust Christ who obeyed perfectly and became our curse. And so in communion, we remember when Christ died and became the curse for us on the tree as he suffered in his body. And so we take a piece of bread and drink from a cup to remember what Christ did for us. So, believer, what do we do in response to that? Matt just did a great job this morning of showing a heart of love that sees what Christ has done for us in redeeming us, forgiving us, and by that we are then given through his Spirit the ability to please him. Not so that we may please him, so that we can be justified, but because he already sees us as united with Christ, and therefore we, in response, get to please him and worship him. And so this morning, we get to do that. We get to celebrate that. We get to remember that together. I'm going to ask the men to come forward. This is a special time, however, for believers in Christ. If you have not been united by Christ through faith in this way, we're thrilled that you're here. But as the trays come by, we just ask that you pass them. But consider your place, that if you are outside of Christ, you are still under a curse. And today is a day where you can actually receive forgiveness from the Lord. We would love to talk to you after the service if you want to know what it means to know Christ in this way. So, believer, take the time as you prepare, consider ways that you have sinned against the Lord, seek forgiveness, and then remember his death and what it has accomplished for us, and take communion on your own, and then I will close us in prayer.